Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne, and thank you so much for tuning in to listen to Hannah's Heart. We are a ministry that focuses on couples who have struggled with miscarriage and infertility and even child loss, but we definitely cover more topics than those three topics. We have gone from IVF treatments to adoption, foster care, to even some disabilities, that just how your life looks different than what you've pictured. Sometimes you need to grieve that life that you've pictured. But then we also share, goodness, the hope through the Lord when your life looks differently. And then you still can say, thank you, God, for what it looks like now.
Amen.
You know,
lots of beautiful different stories on
That's
this show
right.
every week.
Every single week. I did want to make a little announcement right now to remind our listeners on October 20th, so a little over a month away, we are going to be hosting our first butterfly release for our local ladies who want to come. And for anyone who's listening and thinking like, there's no way I can make it to Tupelo, Mississippi for that, please email us and we're going to try. We're going to have people to release a butterfly in honor of those babies mentioned as well.
And maybe you've named a baby if you happen to know, or maybe you don't and you just want your name or something. We're going to try to film butterflies.
Yes. I think
hopefully it goes
so
well.
Sweet.
I'm a little worried about the weather.
I definitely have it pictured a certain way.
It's beautiful in my mind. But regardless, I think just doing any act to like memorialize, you know, such a deep loss is going to be very healing to
well,
anyone
that,
who comes.
That week beforehand is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Week.
Yes.
And so I think me personally, having the miscarriages that I've had and then my sweet John Micah who passed away, anything that represents those losses and that sweet baby boy that someone allows me to remember him by is so sweet and means so much to me. So I think this will mean a lot to our listeners.
Agreed. Well, with that being said, we're going to jump into today's topic. Today we have a really extra special guest on the show, Alan Ann Simpson. She is the founder of a nonprofit organization called Defiantly Hopeful. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into what that title means. But here's the great news. Listen up if you're listening. And fertility treatments cost a lot of money. And it's so hard for couples that are trying to be good stewards. And sometimes it just feels like that dream is impossible. Defiantly Hopeful has a grant that they try to work to get couples funding or help to be able to pursue their family's goals
and dreams. So needed.
So helpful. And Alan, Anne is on to share a little bit about her story. I'm going to give you just reading the flyby of her bio just so you know what she has been through. Alan Ann went through 13 years of infertility. So she's what we call a veteran. She has been through it. Been through 5 IUIs, 6 IVF egg retrievals, and 7 embryo transfers that ended up resulting in the 2 children, beautiful children, that she has now. Also, Alan Ann was my IVF nurse during the conception of our sweet little baby girl that I'm carrying right now. And for those that haven't heard, I did mini IVF through Rejoice Fertility. It's a Christian run, they're a non-discard facility, so they don't ever get rid of embryos. They just really care about their patients. We loved going there, and there was this smiling face drawing my blood when I got to get poked for the millionth time during this, and it was Alan Ann, and she was so encouraging, and she shared a little bit with me about her journey and some of the stuff she'd been through, and I was discouraged actually during this because just some of our egg quality information was discouraging. And when she just shared what she'd been through, I was like, God can do anything. So anyways, Alan, Ann, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. And I wish every patient could be as sweet as you. You had such a great attitude through your whole treatment. So we're thrilled for you.
It's hard not to smile back when you're the one being encouraging on the other side of the needle.
Hey, that says a lot whenever someone's doing anything with needles and you say it's hard not to smile back at
them. That's very true. That's not every person that came out at me with a needle did I appreciate it, but
I'm glad you weren't one of the people that I had to stick more than once.
I'm sure you never make a mistake when it comes to drawing blood. I'm sure it's pure perfection.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to start, first of all, just a little bit about your journey. I know you went through so much in the infertility world. I wanted to just do kind of an overview, like looking back, are there any moments that you could really specifically sense God's love or presence sustaining you through your 13-year journey?
Gosh, I mean, there's lots of little moments, you know, I always call them God winks when you have little moments that you can see the Lord, but definitely when you can look back on something, when you're on the other side of it, it is probably a little easier to see God working than when you're in the midst of it and you're like, God, what are you doing? And why is this happening? I think one of the times that really sticks out in my mind is when I was gearing up for my 6th IVF egg retrieval and my last one, I had some negativity around doing this many cycles for a second baby. And that's just everyone's preference. But I mean, just for people out there, don't ever criticize someone for wanting a second baby or anything like that. But I was just kind of, I had faced a little bit of criticism about, well, you know, Alnan, I just feel like maybe you're just not very thankful or grateful for the first IVF baby you had, like going through all this. And I was in a community Bible study and we were doing the book of Daniel. And there was a, that week, the passage was about the Lord doing a double miracle. And I believe there was even a double rainbow. And I just felt God directly speak to me and say, you know, you have shown faith in knowing that I can do one miracle, yes, but I can also do more. And so I just felt at peace about the cycle, no matter which way it went, just that I was doing the right thing by moving forward and attempting it again. And I did. I got my son out of that cycle. So it was just a great encouragement when the outside world was more negative.
That's so good.
Well, you mentioned criticism. I wanted to ask you about that because I feel like on this show, we talk a lot about how for every couple, it's different. How many IUIs is right for you? How many attempts at IVF? And of course, there's a time and season, Ecclesiastes says, for everything. You know, and there's a certain time when we can become obsessed and it becomes an idol and we're working in our own strength. And God says, no, I don't want you to do this. And we have to be able to listen to that voice. And we've talked about that a lot on the show. But Alan, do you think there's also a time when maybe other people are the ones telling us you need to stop, but God might be leading you to say, I want you to try this one more time?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a lot of times in the Bible where, especially in Job, where his friends are not really great friends, and they're not very encouraging to him. And so I think that what it comes down to is that even if you have friends or family or someone that maybe is speaking something negative into your life, or maybe, you know, they don't think it's negative, they think they're giving sound advice, I think just getting by yourself and getting quiet and being in prayer about it to really hear the Lord's voice, you know, I mean, we have our own feelings, we have the feelings of others, and then we have really the nudges of the Lord. And so you know, again, like I was kind of questioning myself when I went into that Bible study that morning and, you know, I left with the peace of the Lord. And so I think that is what we all seek in every decision that we make is peace about it.
Well, and the criticism you got for wanting a second, like nobody, it's funny that like they would criticize in the world of fertility treatments, but no mama who naturally had a baby and then decided they wanted to have another, would they be like, Right. Why aren't you being grateful for the first baby that came out?
Right.
Like, such a double standard. So that's very frustrating.
Yes. I mean, I could probably write a book on just like all the things, crazy things people told me over 13 years. But, you know, I got a little bit of a tougher skin. But I think you can, even when you don't let it maybe sink deep into you, it still makes you second guess yourself or, you know, question yourself.
Well, tell me about, because you started in the world of being a patient, and now you work even as an IVF nurse sometimes. So how did God bring you from that point to this point?
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. I started out as a postpartum well baby and NICU nurse in the hospital.
While you were going through 13 years of infertility?
Well, that was right. It was right before. So I was, and then I wanted a day shift job. And the only day shift job available was at the local IVF clinic in Mississippi at the university. And so I became a nurse there in 2007 and then found out about 6 months later after learning a lot, because it's like its whole other world to learn. I realized that things with my own body weren't really normal. And so it was actually after I started working in it that I realized I had infertility. And I just think that's a thing that God just knew me, and he knew that I was going to need to fully understand all these crazy things going on with my body. And so I, you know, think it was very, I was very strategically placed in that job.
Now, having gone through as many rounds of everything that you went through, just anything encouraging for, I mean, as far as the bedside manner and the help that you received, did you have a lot of help along the way? Did you have a lot of, just from the actual nurses and doctors that were dealing with you, did you feel like you had a lot of clarity, or did it take you a long time to find someone that saw you?
Yeah, I mean, I did. I had several different doctors that I saw throughout my time. Some of it was just because that's who I was working for. I think, you know, it can be pros and cons when you're working for the doctor and going through IVF. But you definitely get like VIP treatment. And,
okay.
You know, I had full access to the doctor if I had questions, right? And so, you know, I think that was good. I think sometimes you know too much, so you second guess everything. But yeah, I mean, I went to different doctors for different reasons. Some were more, you know, had better bedside, and some I went to strictly because of, you know, the type of IVF they practice. And so, you know, it was all different. But I think the nurses, my coworkers, were always, you know, super supportive and always, you know, they were good people to lean on, especially during the early days when I may not have been telling everyone in my life what I was doing.
Well, let's talk about the name Defiantly Hopeful. tell us, how did Defiantly Hopeful get started, and also why that name?
Yeah, so, excuse me, around 2019 to 2020, the idea came right before the pandemic hit, but just my family at the time was wanting to do something possibly with a nonprofit, and it started where I just partnered with a friend of mine's nonprofit to give away grants, but I wanted to do something because, I mean, infertility is just a huge part of my personal story, and it's my professional life as well. And so it's just a big part of me. And so I think it was born out of the fact that when I, you know, as a nurse practitioner, I see patients and I do new patient consults. And one of the most frustrating things is to see a couple walk in who are very unlikely to get pregnant without IVF, but you know they'd be great candidates for it and could probably have a baby through IVF, and they just walk out the door because they can't afford the high cost of treatment. And it just really broke my heart that, you know, some of these couples, I just felt like, you know, oh my gosh, if they just, you know, could do it, they would probably have a baby. And so I wanted to do grants for those, for those couples. And, oddly enough, the name came from a conference. I spoke at a conference, I believe it was in 2016. There was a conference in Southern California called the Choose Joy Conference that was held for about 4 or 5 years. And one of my good friends started it. And so I spoke for a couple of years. But that particular year, I was done with my sessions. And so I went to another speaker's session. And they gave away, they did a drawing for all the people in that session. And I won the drawing, and it was a necklace. And it was a little card, and it was like a little thing written, but the title was, I Am Defiantly Hopeful.
Hmm.
And it just stuck with me because I felt like that really describes who I am in life in general, I think, but especially in my infertility journey that, you know, I mean, I probably was a little defiantly hopeful that, you know, someone that does 6 rounds of IVF is probably a little bit defiant about giving up. But I felt like, you know, it translates into all areas of our life, because if we're living, you know, in a way where we know the Lord is in control and his plans are always good and his plans are always what is supposed to be right for our life, then we can live a hopeful life, mm-hmm. no matter what circumstances we live in. So I loved it. And so as soon as I, was making the move to do my own nonprofit, I was like, that's it. Defiantly Hopeful is, that's what I want to name it.
I love that caveat that you gave of, you know, if we are living according to the Lord and the way he's called to live our life, that we can cling to hope no matter what, because a lot of people would say, well, you're being, you know, defiantly false hopeful, you know, and that's not what you're not claiming any promises of what God owes you, but you're saying no matter what your circumstance, you can still have hope and joy. And that's just really beautiful.
But, and I think when you get to my age, I have experienced enough in life to where, yes, people can say, well, but you got 2 babies out of it. But, you know, my story actually ended, my last transfer ended on a miscarriage. So I did not end my infertility journey on a happy note. And I've also had other losses in my life where God didn't answer my prayers the way I wanted. So I think that you have to look at everyone's life and just say, well, you know, this worked out for them and it didn't for me, but you know, everyone has their things and we don't always agree with the way that God works them out in our lives, but, it is for the greater good.
Mm. Well, tell me about some of these couples that you've been able to give grants. How many grants have you given away and what has the response kind of been?
We gave away our first grant in 2021. It was just the one grant that year. And that couple has a sweet little baby, named Ember. And I haven't posted on my Instagram in a while, but I do have pictures of her on there. She was our first grant baby. And they were just the sweetest couple. And then I should have counted before I came on. The next year we gave away, 2 big grants and a mini grant. All those couples have children now.
What?
So those 3. And then the next year we did another handful. I have some people, let's see, is anyone, one patient I know, she actually had to wait a year to transfer. She was my year before, my 2022 recipient. Mm. One of them, and she actually ended up with like this horrible thyroid issue and had to have thyroid surgery.
Oh, no.
And so she really is like the definition of defiantly hopeful. And she is currently over halfway pregnant. I mean, halfway through her pregnancy.
Yay.
Over 20 weeks with a sweet little boy. So she finally transferred. And then I have another patient who also had a little bit of issue waiting to transfer, but has some embryos waiting. We have babies running around. We have babies in Mississippi and California. We have a grant winner still waiting to get pregnant in Michigan. So lots of little babies, and I've gotten to meet a good number of them.
So sweet.
It's the best. I love to hold babies, and especially ones that, you know, I just kind of walk through the journey with these couples too. And so, you know, they're usually always really responsive and texting me updates. And so,
and you filmed a couple of them when they found out the information, right? Like, I think I saw that on your Facebook. How special is that? That's cute.
I always say it's like my Super Bowl every year. It's my favorite thing to do. And, I will say one of my sweet couples, her name's Nayeli. They were one of my California couples. They actually, they kind of had a story too of where they transferred and didn't get pregnant, and then they were going to do another transfer, and like they had a parent die, and it was just a lot of, you know, back and forth. And then in the midst of waiting on doing fertility again, she had to have like a big surgery and all this stuff. So they were also in line to adopt, and they ended up adopting a baby. And like the placement happened like 2 weeks before her embryo transfer. It
my
was
word.
Like crazy. So she has like, she has two under two.
Oh my word. Really,
God bless her. A sweet.
Yeah. So this is a sweet story. I mean, she's blissfully happy and tired, but
yeah,
that's all she's ever wanted.
Oh, look, when so God sweet. Decides to bless you, watch out. Yes. You're not going to have room to hold all the blessings, literally.
Well, so what is the process? Is there a process of getting one of these grants? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I unfortunately, due to some things going on in my own family, I was unable to do them in 2024, but I am currently raising money and hopeful to give away. The more money I raise, the more I can give away. So
awesome.
I'm always like, just if you can give, that'd be awesome. But when I open up applications, once I, you know, raise enough to feel like we can open them up, I open up on my website, defiantlyhopeful.org, and there's an application process. And we have a board, and so we do have criteria. We don't publish our criteria. I know a lot of people are kind of like, why don't you publish your criteria? And I'm like, well, because we want people to apply. We don't want you to try to make yourself fit the criteria. Mm. We want people to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So,
not that, you know, we accuse everyone of being not honest, but, you know. So we do have medical criteria we look at, and we have financial criteria we look at, and all that was created at the founding of the nonprofit. And then, we get all the applications in, and then the board sits around and votes, which is always
hard.
An exciting meeting, but so hard. Yeah, no, I wish I could just give everybody one.
Mm. And so the application process, you have to have already had a medical doctor, like, tell them what all they need to apply, like.
Yeah, so the medical form, and I usually always have that live before the application's live so they can look and see what they need. But it is filled out typically by your REI. I know some people, they're like, can my OBGYN do it? And I'm like, sure, you know, if they did a lot of your workup and things like that, that's fine. But we do like you to have an established fertility doctor, because we do cut the checks directly to the fertility clinic for the treatment. So we, you know, need somewhere that you're going to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. And then there's a list on there of the things that you'll need to have handy when you're filling it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll ask mainly medical and financial questions on it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. and that's, you're hopeful for 2025 that, those would be
due. So I was able to, in the end of 2023, in December of 23, I was able to give away, two $15,000 grants and a $5,000 grant.
Wow.
And actually our $5,000 grant went to a local gal here in East, well, I guess you're not local to me, but anyway, in East Tennessee, to an embryo adoption couple, which was super fun. We have given one. We actually have one of our babies was also an embryo adoption. And I think she's two now. So this is our second one to do for embryo adoption, which was a super fun process too. So so I'm hopeful. I mean, we were giving away 20,000, but I wanted to be able to give away more, you know, more grants. So last year we dropped it to 15. And then still kept the $5,000 for the mini grant. And, you know, the clinics have been so awesome when we do have mini grant recipients to, like, help them get medicines paid for or donated or things to really, you know, help them succeed in their cycle. So we just try to, you know, do as much as we can. So I would love to be able to give away, a handful, at least like three. If I could give away three, that'd be awesome.
So defiantlyhopeful.org is where they can go to either donate towards this or to be able to apply for a grant. Is that correct?
Correct. So that the applications will not be open until, so you can't really click on the application until we actually open them. But yes, you can go and read about it. Mm-hmm. You should be able to look at the medical form that'll be required. And then, there is a link to give on there. And so you can give online or you can mail a check if that's what you prefer, or contact me for more information. But we are a 501c3. We have been since 2021. So all donations are tax deductible.
Okay, so we have about 1 minute left, but I want to pretend somebody just sat in your chair. You're their IVF nurse, and they are just like, there's so much negativity about whether this can even work for me. Give them your, like, 60-second pep talk.
Oh, gosh. I would say, hey, you've been through a lot. You've already been through a lot to be sitting here in this chair. And so, you know, good for you for even being here. It takes a lot of guts to show up to a fertility specialist. A lot of patients have been through 3, 4, 5 years of infertility before they even show up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I, working in this field so long, I have seen, you know, lots of miracles happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, give false hope that mm-hmm. it works for everyone, but, you know, we certainly do our best to, you know, help you have the best outcome for you.
Well, Alan Ann, you are precious and wonderful, and thank you so much for what you do and giving hope to so many couples. DefiantlyHopeful.org. Go check them out.
We'll see you next week on Hannah's Heart.